From WXXI News, I'm Leah Stacey, sitting in for Evan Dawson, and this is Connections. Our connection this hour was made roughly a decade ago when City Newspaper began doing an annual issue called the Rochester 10. While I did contribute to a few of those issues in the past, I must confess I don't know where the idea really began. But when I landed at City last April, I knew we should bring it back. We first did so in August 2023, and now we have another Rochester 10 issue on stands. Rochester 10 isn't a top 10 or a best 10 list. It's more like a gratitude list, our way to thank a group of people making the city a better place to live, work, and play. College degree doesn't matter, age doesn't matter, demographic doesn't matter. What is the individual doing for the greater community? Our Rochester 10 cohort this year includes a couple united in art and love, an up-and-coming actor, a multidisciplinary creative who champions others, and more. And you might have noticed our couple technically makes it a Rochester 11. The 2024 Rock 10 are as follows: Aaron Costa, Race Eberhardt, Dr. Vikram Dogra, Ruben Ornelas, and Lori McFarlane, Chris Fanning, Tor Savant, Scar Markham, Margarita Smith, Anita O'Brien, and Sejal Shaw. You can pick up a copy on stands now to read all their stories, and it will be posted online in its entirety soon. Today, we're in conversation with a few of the people who made this issue happen behind the scenes. We'll also hear from another interesting community member who's featured in the issue. My guests this hour, and some are joining us a little bit later in the hour, are Patrick Hoskin, arts writer for City, Jacob Walsh, who is here with me now, art director for City. Hi, Jake.
Hi. Hello.
Rafael Rodriguez, a freelance photographer who shot all of our Rock 10 portraits both years. Nice to have you in studio.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Daniel Kushner, arts writer for City, Gino Finelli, a reporter for WXXI, and joining us later by phone will be Tony Brown, who is the owner and music booker slash promoter for Live. If you're in the Finger Lakes, you can listen on our Geneva station, WEOS 89.5 FM. And if you'd like to join the conversation otherwise, you can send us an email at connections@wxxi.org or call 844-295-8255. Or 585-263-9994. So because I have these two incredibly creative and ambitious, younger than me folks, I wanted to talk a little bit about the creative process that goes into this issue. I think you can read all of the stories when you pick up this issue, but you might not know how it came together. And we get excited for this issue every year from a creative standpoint. So I love that Jake and Raphael are both in here now, because the crazy thing about freelance is that you don't usually get to work in the same place. And we have a large group of freelance photographers and writers. And Raphael, I think we were just talking about this. You've been with us for roughly a year on and off shooting, which is so cool. So I want first for you guys to both talk about your backgrounds, because they're really interesting. And you're both natives of Rochester, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. You got a tatted?
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
Just my zodiac symbol.
Oh, yeah, Raph's got the tat.
Yeah, I got it right there.
Oh, I got to catch up.
Yeah, that's all right.
We'll have to put that in a photo somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, so Jake, tell us a little bit about your background.
Totally. So I was born and raised in Rochester, and I went to school at RIT. So I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life when I started down the like path of whatever sort of creative person I was going to be. I went to school undecided on a scholarship, and I was really trying to figure out like, what is the deal? Like, what's going on? And I got put in this housing for like undecided kids. It was just kind of like, hey, you're all like, you all have no idea what's going on, right? Let's like all put you in one dorm and you'll make friends with each other and hopefully like influence each other. And like, you'll try all the different classes and figure out like what's going to go on. Cause I was always like, I don't know about college. I don't know about education. I want to be a musician. Like I was that age and I was like, that's, you know, none of this is for me, but I found myself there. And I had a bunch of friends. My friend Fico pointed me in the direction of like, you should be like an artist. You're like doodling all the time and like taking pictures and you're strange. And I was like, okay, cool. So I can't draw, and I couldn't draw back then. I can't draw now. I'm the art director of this magazine, and I do not know how to draw. I can't illustrate anything. It's like not in my wheelhouse at all. So I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And then I figured I found out what graphic design was at that point. And I was like, okay. And they had a graphic design program there. I didn't go to it. I went to the print school because I was like, that sounds like maybe I'll like find some sort of job that way.
Yeah,
like
I
was, and like I, being in print school, you find out really quickly that it's like, you are going to move to the middle of the country. You're going to work on a lithography press from the hours of 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. You start on the C shift and you move away from your home and your friends and your family and you like go live in Champlain, Illinois. And I was like, ooh, I do not. That's not for me. I don't want to do that. I'm a very like social person. So I straight up just started saying, I'm a graphic designer. I know how to do that thing, because I kind of did from school. Like they teach you how to print. You kind of have to print something, so you have to like make the things you're gonna print and the books and the, I was making little zines at the time and all these like fun little DIY things. So anyway, I pretended to be a graphic designer long enough to like build up a freelance client base roughly when I was like in my early 20s, which is like the most tenuous feeling on earth. And then I like started working here because I was working like three different jobs and going on tour with tours like with bands a bunch. And it was super exhausting. I learned that I'm kind of a homebody person, or I'm drained really easily, just sort of not knowing what's coming next and having a bunch of different jobs, being on the road a lot. So I had always dreamed about working at City. At the time, it was City Newspaper. Yeah. And the guy who hired me is still my boss. It's great. We've worked together for like, it's coming up on 7 years now, me and Ryan.
Yeah.
I feel insanely lucky to just be able to have found myself in this position where we work on a small team. I think I have the trust of the people that I work with, and I just get to kind of, it sounds flippant, but kind of like do whatever I want a lot of the time. And I feel very lucky to have the trust of everyone that surrounds me to just sort of like, hey, you want to do like big letters and pink and black, and you can, it's as long as the content, like the writing and the photography is good, like,
yeah,
that's
it's a circle of trust, really.
It's nice. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of that's like the long view. That was like the front,
no, that's great. You know. Actually, I feel like that was pretty truncated. That was great.
Was it succinct?
Yeah.
It was a good template for me too. So
my biggest fear is not being
Raph
succinct.
Raph is over there taking notes.
Yeah, I'm taking notes on how to talk about this. thank you. That helped out.
All right, Raph, give us a little bit of your background and then we're gonna talk about the issue.
Yeah. So I definitely started taking pictures through a website called Tumblr.
I'm pretty sure we all know what that is. Yeah.
And Tumblr really opened up everything for me. They opened up style, not being secure of taking pictures, one of myself, of others, and just building that confidence. Mm-hmm. Tumblr helped out extremely. So entering middle school, going into high school, I was this creative little weird skater kid in city school. So I'm in the city, just I'm a skater, I'm taking pictures. I'm at one point I was wearing my pants on backwards and foxtails, and you know, it was a whole mess, but it made me who I am. And so I started through that, through high school, was taking pictures of the friends and the homies, and then I dropped out of high school and just kind of just went about life how, you know, how the wind is going to blow me. If it blows me in this direction, I'm going that direction. If it's in this direction, I'm going that direction. But one thing I've always had was photography. Yeah. I asked my mom for a camera for Christmas in high school. I still got it. This Nikon D3300. I'm still rolling with it. And it was something that I still kept on me. I was in the streets. I was doing dumb things. But I was still this photographer kid, like still taking pictures, doing the most ridiculous things you could think of. It died down because of lack of friends around me weren't motivating me. They were either selling drugs or doing a whole bunch of, you know, things that weren't in my agenda. And no one was like motivating me or like telling me, yo, you're good. Yo, you're this and that. And
so important.
Oh yeah, it's very important. I don't need validation from anyone to kind of like toot my own horn or anything. I just need someone to be like, yo, it's decent. It's fire. It's
we
good
all
enough.
Need that,
you know
for
what
sure.
I mean?
So,
and that was enough. The good enough was enough. But I didn't have that. So I exited away from those people and moved to Park Ave in the middle of pandemic. I'm skipping a lot, but just to like get to the point of when I really started. Middle of pandemic, moved out was hanging out on near Park Ave area, and that's where my friends that I went to school was at. And we couldn't get close to each other because we were separate sides of the city. I lived on Lake Ave and my other friends lived on Jenny, and we was different parts of the city. So we finally were old enough to move and live near somewhere near each other, and that's when the friends with the enough compliments started happening. Like, yo, bro, I don't know what you've been doing, but you should have been doing this. And then my friend, who some of us know real well, his name is Shamar Brown. He goes by Gnarly Brown. Mm-hmm. He shot film, and I was like, wait, there's film? Like, what's film? Like, you know, I knew what film was, but I didn't know what it can do. And I started shooting film, and then that spark of like creativity came back, and I started doing my thing, started shooting pictures. Luckily, I got a job at Good Luck through the grace of God, through a prayer, and long story short, I met Leah. That's how I met Leah, was working through Good Luck and the opportunity that I got through
first Rochester 10.
Yeah, remember the little art show?
Oh, it was something for Cocktail Revival.
It was first, and then that's when I got, and then that's when you asked me to shoot the first Rochester 10 issue. Yeah. And that's through the struggle of, you know, from the upbringing in the inner city to, you know, not having friends to motivate you to reconnecting with those people who you knew a long time ago were like the right people to be with. And then God, I got to where I'm at, and we're on our second issue together.
Yeah.
So that's, you won the first one?
Yeah, man.
So
yeah. This is our second one.
You absolutely. Guys have fully collaborated. All right. So I love that. Both of those journeys are so different, but you said a lot of the same things, which is so cool.
Yeah.
Jake, this is one of your favorite issues to design, if not your favorite, right?
My favorite one to design.
Okay, so
it's the best, far and away.
Walk us through your process a little bit.
Sure. So much of it is, and this is not to like downplay my role in it or whatever, but it really is, and I hope going forward, like Raph's photography. Your photography is, and I said this before we were on the air, but your photography is so good. And I'm a photographer for this magazine as well, albeit like a lot less nowadays. But back in the day, I was doing like 3 or 4 photo shoots a week, especially when we were weekly. And it takes like a type of person to pull out the types of photos that you are getting from these people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an incredible talent. And I would fall short of that mark a lot. Not that I'm a particularly like, I'm not saying like, oh, I wasn't good at it, or like, I'm an awkward guy, I'm introverted or whatever. All that stuff is true.
different strengths.
It's just different. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and so like so much of the layout of this book leans on your photography, because if anybody has this issue in front of them, which like I don't think anyone would be like, I'm gonna sit down, listen to Connections, and flip open a city magazine, but that's what I'm doing right now.
My mom might.
Hey, there we go. We got at least one person who's playing along at home. We've got some of our folks in the booth playing along.
By the
home.
Way, the first picture you guys put for when to open that magazine and see that clear photo of beautiful.
Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah.
First, beautiful human being. But the way you guys you opened that issue and it's that book. Great, great way to start it. I was happy when I saw it. I think I was emotional a little bit. But we'll talk about that.
Man, no, that's yeah. Like if you flip through, like you're like Raph's photography is like fully on display. We always leave a ton of room to have like bigness, and I think that when you do a regularly releasing publication, especially just having like memories of this being a weekly newspaper, there's so much that you kind of have to do like ahead of time, so that like you know you're like pulling things from all different directions. And with this, it's like it's so peaceful for me, and the reason I love doing this issue so much is because I know the art is locked, guaranteed. That is something I do not have to worry about, which is a unique situation. I don't have to direct any art. It's like the photography is going to be amazing. And then everything else is just we book the space in the book, and it's like flexible, and it's like a blank canvas. And for me to have like incredibly strong art, writing that I can depend on, and then everything else is like, all right, like go and do your thing. I can like draw from this like big well in my head that I have of ideas that I have wanted to do that the format of the magazine doesn't always allow.
Yeah.
Like I get like what do I get? 22 pages in this book, which is like a dream for anyone who lays out and does art for magazines. 22 pages is like a lot of pages. It's a ton of real estate.
Equal with my photos.
Yeah.
To get that many sheets, that many pages of my photos is also equally like there with you. That's
well,
how it feels.
It feels great.
I want to give a shout out to the writers who supplied the profiles to really quickly. Kellen Beck, Sydney Burroughs, Gino Finelli, John Heath, Patrick Hoskin, Daniel J. Kushner, June Z.M. McCambridge, Jessica L. Pavia, and Catherine Varga. A lot of these are either in-house or regular freelancers, and they also just knocked it out of the park. The whole package is just, it's such an honor for us to work on this every year.
It is really great. Yeah. And it always feels like something that is really, truly worth talking about. And, and just, you know, I mean, that's kind of the end of the thought. It is something that is really worth talking about. And these are like people that deserve to be. And you know, Rochester is a small city. And I know, I want to say personally, like half of these people and then half of them I had never come across like in my personal travels. And it was just amazing to get to read about these people like while I'm laying out the magazine. I've read every single one of these profiles and seen very, very detailed, like every detail of everyone's face. I've seen it. And every word in this magazine, issue, I've read it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
so I think, Jake, you touched on something that I want Raf to talk about because I feel this way about your photography too. A lot of times we have such quick turnaround for these things. And really quickly, side note, hi, Patrick. He snuck in. Yeah. We're going to talk about the work you did. So one of the things with the quick turnaround, and you're shooting all 10, and in this case, really 11, because you shot one couple together, it to not have it be quite bluntly boring and to capture the essence of these people, which we feel that you do so strongly, how do you do that? What is it? And can you explain it? Because maybe it's just something that is inside you. But
yeah, I would like to think it is. I do think that's part of it. Yeah.
But when you, I mean, you are meeting a lot of these people for the first time. You land, you're shooting a portrait where they feel comfortable. They look natural. So talk us through how that works.
So I think it goes with how obsessed I am of taking pictures and how much I love to take pictures. I don't think I can express myself enough through this mic or, you know, but I really love taking pictures in all aspects. And I have film cameras. I always tell people, I always got a camera on me. It's my phone. It's right here. There's three lenses on there. So there's three different, you know what I mean? So I always got, I think that helps me capture these photos. And then let me tell you everything how I do. So I called them. We book a day. We show up to a location. And I don't bring out my camera at all. I'm like, hi, how you doing? My name is Raphael. Let me take a picture today, right? what is city recognizing you for? And then they break it down. I allow them to be as passionate as they want about what they're being recognized for. That way I can get, all right, you passionate about that? The couple, Goofy. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, like they were just, their energy was just so like me. And
like happy Goofy.
Happy Goofy. And they were, and as soon as I let them speak and the energy was there, I was like, all right, let's go to that colorful backdrop, that little art piece at the art museum that's near School of the Arts. Spoke them. Mm-hmm. And it spoke their energy and it spoke their who they were. And so the passion behind taking pictures is what really allows me to land these photos, and the connection that you have to connect with them. I can't just show up and take a picture of anybody. I'm sorry. I'm going to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out where you're from, where you at, how you got here, what's your favorite color. I'm going to figure all that out before I take the first picture, just because I think it's one, respect. I think that's just, that's not treat this like a robotic, like some type of like, oh, you got to show up, take a picture and leave. No, we might be friends from now on. So like next time you see me on our way into the room, Chris Fanning,
who was on the first hour.
He's towards the writers and books. As soon as I walked in here, I saw him, and now me and Chris are friends. Now we shake hands now. So that's like a connection. I think what allows me to do it is definitely the love I have for this. And I think Leah knows it a lot because we talk more about you the one that texts me and like, yo, I got this job. And then,
yeah.
So I talk with you the most, but I think you understand how much I Yeah. I breathe, think, sleep this. This is like.
Yeah, and I think that Jake and Ryan can feel it when your work comes in and they see it.
Also,
yeah.
I just want to say that, and thank you to the writers and to you, bro, because you compliment my. Imagine this book. Just the picture. Imagine. Just, I mean, it might look good, but
it would look here. Let me just say, it would look good.
I think, but you're the cover, the opening to it, the introduction to it is amazing. Then the choices of the laying out the photos and what comes first, what comes last. Also, Aaron, the owner of Creco.
Yeah.
That was a full circle moment for me. I am a skater.
Oh yeah.
I'm
the writer's with us now.
Oh,
he just snuck
Gino
in.
Wrote
Gino.
It.
Gino, thank you. He literally been waiting. I've been going to his skate shop since I was a kid. He's been around the neighborhood forever. He's helped us stay out of trouble in ways that he may not understand, or maybe he does understand, but not like him physically saying, no, come over here, don't go over there. Legend in the city. It was an honor taking a picture of him. It was an honor for it to be part of it with city and everything. That was a full circle dope moment for me. When I pulled up, because I read the name, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to pull up this guy's house. And I pulled up. It was like, oh, no, you told me this owner of Creco.
It
didn't click until I walked up and I seen this man barefoot on his porch just sitting waiting for me in a bun up and no glasses. That's not him. That's not his style. But it was an honor and it was dope. And I'm just happy that I was able to do that. And thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so great. All right. We are getting close to our first break. But I just wanted to mention that in this issue, some of our Rock 10 are doing some very cool things currently. And I wanted to plug one of them has an event that they're very excited about. Scar Markham, who is one of the Rochester 10, is involved in a Second Chance Art and Record Fair to benefit WAYO Radio this Sunday at Radio Social from 11 to 4 p.m. So if you want to say hi to Scar and come out and probably, if I had to guess, a couple of these other folks might be at something like that. But that's a really cool event that is sort of concurrently tied to the profile that we did in this issue. So check that out. And also WAYO Radio. We love them. Want to support them any chance we get. So there's that plug. Patrick and Gino have joined us since we've been talking. They kind of snuck in. Patrick, you just broke some news. Tell us about that.
I did, yeah. The news that I was writing up for City Online is that Pete Davidson was originally the scheduled headliner at the Rochester Fringe Festival. Yeah. He had to cancel. He's being replaced by fellow Staten Island native Colin Jost.
Yeah.
Same vibe on those two guys.
Yeah.
They do co-own a decommissioned Staten Island ferry boat together.
That I remember that story being very entertaining. So ticket holders who had already bought them for Pete Davidson now have tickets to that show, yeah?
Yeah, they'll be honored. And then you can also, if to Jake's point, the comedy stylings are so different that you actually are not so keen on Mr. Jost, then you can also seek a refund. But yes, if you already have tickets, you can can do that as well.
Cool.
I wasn't trying to make a statement. I'm a Jost apologist. I love Weekend Update. I'm also way down the SNL rabbit hole.
I love it.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, great.
And it's not sold out. So if people want to get tickets, they still can. Cool. All right. I'm going to bring it back just to talk about the issue outside of the Rock 10, because we do have other content in here. I had a conversation with our CEO, our outgoing CEO of 28 years, Norm Silverstein, and we had a really nice chat about what media looked like and kind of what the future of it looks like. So check that out. It was a Q&A. I really wanted it to be in his own words. So that was such a lovely conversation that I will think about for the rest of my life. And I'm so honored to have that time to chat with him. But we've been calling this the Summer of Norm. And so if you'd like to come out and meet Norm, we're going to have a city social at Radio Social. I realize this is like two back-to-back plugs for Radio Social. They do a lot of things. They host a lot of events there. And it's one of our favorite places to host city socials because it is so easy to park. It's very accessible. The hummus is great. They're going to do a special cocktail and a special zero-proof mocktail for us. And you can bring your kids, and you can stay after and play trivia or bowling. That's going to be on Wednesday, this Wednesday, like tomorrow, from 5 to 7 p.m.
Hey, of course I work.
Oh, no, Raph.
That's what I give work in the restaurant industry. So.
I can't say call in because we're live on the air.
Yeah, it's all right.
Do what you must. We'll see you.
There's one on Sunday though, right? For Scar, right?
Yeah. So there's another thing on Sunday. Yeah. And then Abby has a wonderful piece, Abby Quattro, who was on the air with us last time, called Spice of Life, where she went out and shot a bunch of really spicy dishes. She went to Young's Korean, Thali of India, Everything is Good, and one more, Szechuan Opera, one of my faves. Beautiful photos. And you know what? Eating spicy food in the summer actually should bring your body temperature down, right? Like, it brings your core temperature down. So
that's what I heard.
Kind of a fun one.
Where'd you hear that?
Thanks, Ralph.
I heard it at a cafe.
I didn't pay him to say that. All right. So we are going to take our short break, and then we're going to come back and talk to Patrick and Gino. We're going to say farewell to Jake and Raph and get Dan in studio to talk about some of these profiles. Thanks so much, both of you, for being here, for your beautiful work. As always, let's do it again next year, shall we?
Can't wait.
Cool. All right. So when we come back, more from our guests, Patrick Hoskin, Gino Finelli, Daniel J. Kushner will be joining us in studio. And we'll see you in a few minutes.
I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, our colleague Eric Logan hosts the program in our first hour, welcoming Dr. Ruth Holland Scott, who has a new book called Raising Confident Children. In our second hour, Eric talks to members of the veterinary community, talks to people who work in animal support. It's a tough time for pet owners with veterinary services struggling, and he'll talk about how to support them coming up.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Leah Stacey, standing in for Evan Dawson. And today we are talking about the Rochester 10 City Magazine's August issue and an annual one where we highlight 10 folks who are giving back to the community, specifically in arts and culture. So during the second half of the hour, I am joined by Patrick Hoskin, who is an arts writer for City. Nice to see you again.
Hello.
You were here yesterday.
I was here yesterday.
Hosting.
It's nice to be back in the studio. It's been so long.
It's been too long.
No, it's always nice to be here.
I have that bookmarked. I had a meeting for half of the time you were on the air, but I'm excited to listen to that.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed that photo where DM Stith had no shoes on.
Yeah, and in fact,
he got comfy.
That's the vibe, right? When you're in the studio, hopefully everybody can be cozy and
love
comfy.
It. Yeah. We also have Daniel J. Kushner, arts writer for City here. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
And Gino Finelli, reporter for WXXI and frequent contributor to City Magazine.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for being here. All right, so I just want to go through, Pat, you had two very different subjects to profile for Rock 10.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the folks that you wrote about.
So the first one, actually, and I'll just say first chronologically based on the interviews I did. I actually don't remember which one comes first in the magazine. But the first one I did chronologically was Dr. Vikram Dogra, who is a radiologist at the University of Rochester Medical Center and quite a renowned radiologist. But he's being profiled as a Rock 10 person for the art foundation that he founded very recently with his wife, Nalini. And basically, he had amassed such a collection, highly specialized collection of Indian art in the Srinathji tradition, as I learned about. He had amassed so much of this specific art that he basically wanted to and did turn his home into kind of a gallery and a learning space. And he's partnered with the MAG. He brought an Indian artist over from India, basically housed him, fed him, and I think basically drove him to the MAG or had people around to be able to do that so that the Indian artist could come and do a mural in one of the hallways at the MAG. So he's really become a big champion of Southeast Asian art and South Asian art. And the Dogra Art Foundation is his foundation. And yeah, it's sort of taking up space in his home, just lining the walls with Pishvai and all sorts of different specialized Indian art forms.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And this was the person that I had never heard of until you pitched the story and we decided to make him a Rock 10.
Yeah, and I had not either. It's just I have to shout out folks at the MAG for sort of getting him and his work on our radar so that we could highlight it as well.
Yeah, love that. Okay, and then your second is that up-and-coming actor that I referenced and actually just went to the screening of his movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Straight Undercover is the movie.
Yep.
It is a story about Race Straight, who is that's the character name, who is essentially a has like low-key superpowers and is a
it's very cute.
He was a federal agent, but in the
USDA.
USDA, right. So he's sort of investigating these farming. I don't know. He's doing farming investigations.
There's some chemicals afoot.
And the actor who portrays him, Race Eberhard is his name, is just an incredibly spirited performer and somebody who had gotten on the radar of Ben Gagneau, who runs Fish and Crown Creative Production Company. And essentially, Ben said, well, we have to make Race into a movie star.
Yeah.
And so he wrote this script about this character, Race Strait, as played by Race Eberhart. And Race gets himself into, well, you know the movie very well now, Leah, so you can talk about the mishaps and the adventures that he gets into.
Yeah, it's a fun little action-packed flick. And it definitely left us with room for a sequel.
Yeah, which he's very keen to star in.
Yeah.
And potentially have a hand in making.
Yeah,
so
it was fun. They did a private screening at the Little because, and I learned this, you can't do public screenings if you want to submit it to film festivals, which is their plan next. So that's very exciting for Race. And also, Race has Down syndrome, and he is 36. Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's very neat to see just his excitement. And also, he's talented.
And he's been acting for a very, very long time on stage.
I mean, he leads the entire cast. And it was clear that everyone is just devoted to him at the screening.
Yeah, there's
loved it.
The funniest thing that Ben Gagneau from Fish and Crown told me is that him and Race had worked together on another project before this, and the reason that they started working on the movie is because Race had essentially made fun of Ben and calling for more takes. Like, he was like, poor baby Ben didn't get what he wanted. And Ben was like, well, this guy's obviously great. We need to make him a movie star immediately, which I found to be very nice and very wholesome. And quite frankly, if that's the path to movie stardom, more people should take that approach of being playfully combative with their directors and their writers.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, and Dan, your subject was a person probably not many have met who's part of an organization few know about, I think, in Rochester. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the organization is Rochester Accessible Adventures, and the person behind it is Anita O'Brien. And it's an organization that really everybody should know about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Anita had come to WXXI actually to speak to us at a luncheon, and that was honestly my introduction to her and her work, I would say, and it was really informative. So Anita's been doing this work for a decade, going on a decade plus at this point, and basically what it is. She works with local businesses and local government organizations, parks and rec departments, to provide the opportunities for people, regardless of their physical ability. If they might have disabilities, they might be recovering from injuries, they might be completely able-bodied. It doesn't really matter. The idea is that you provide an opportunity for everyone to sort of experience something, whether it might be cycling or canoeing or something, you know, physical, athletic outside, without any barriers to that activity, and providing an environment that is inclusive, because the person who might need a special accommodation doesn't have to make an extra step to seek it out. It's provided for them because it should be. Yeah. And I thought that was really great. And it really got me thinking about how we collectively as a culture could really use to shift our mindset on that and think about having everything be inclusive, because it's better for everyone, regardless of what their needs may be.
Well, like you said before, it should be. Yeah. Gino, your subject is someone a lot of people know. He's more or less and has come up already in our conversation, but he's part of local skating lore. I mean, he's always been around since I've been in Rochester. Tell us about your subject and why you chose him as your pick.
Yeah, so I picked Aaron Costa, who's the founder of Crudco. He opened the shop in 1994. Mm-hmm. And really, Aaron is one of those like local figures that, like, if you know Aaron, you are like a true Rochesterian. Like, no shade to Sean Dunwoody, but everyone knows Sean Dunwoody. And he is like one of those figures that is really ubiquitous with this town right now. But Aaron is one of those ones that, like, he's not in the spotlight very much. He's not, you wouldn't really think of like a store owner, a shop owner, to be this kind of really, you know, pivotal cultural figure here. But the iterations of skateboarding over the years and the intersectionality of that community and Crudco really being the hub of all of it, he's had his hands just around a lot of things, and he's kind of, you know, provided a space where people from a lot of different backgrounds for decades now have been able to meet and, you know, find common ground in a way that there's really very few things in the city that are like that. I mean, even, you know, you think of like bars or like typical meeting spaces, you're generally going to a space where there's people from similar backgrounds as you that are there, and you're meeting with people that are, you know, from a similar place in life as you. But with a place like Crudco, and I think this is true of a lot of skate shops across the country, they really are this kind of common ground where people that you would never meet in your day-to-day life, you do meet there and you find this connection over. And that was like a really a large part of the conversation I had with Aaron about, you know, why a space like this is special and why this shop has become such a pivotal part of Rochester culture.
Yeah. Right. I love what Raph was saying about him, just how he had always known about him, and then to roll up to his front porch like that. So great.
And you can probably find dozens and dozens and dozens of people with similar backgrounds that they all know Aaron. And it's kind of a thing where he really has been this quiet cultural figure in Rochester for a very long time. And he is kind of a soft-spoken person.
Yeah.
And he is like not very much that figure that's like, oh, look at this thing I've created and all of that. But, you know, I think there is really something special that came from him opening that shop when he was 20 years old and, you know, where it is now. It's really important to what Rochester is as a community.
Oh, yeah, I agree. So one of our other features in the magazine, Dan, is also written by you. And it's about a man named Tony Brown. Tell us a little bit about Tony Brown, and then we've got him on the phone, so we're going to bring him into the conversation.
Very cool. Well, I don't want to speak for him too much then, nor
Tell
do
us
I
why
in
you
general.
Pitch the story.
Yeah, so Tony is a really interesting guy and somebody who is from Rochester, grew up here, and went to school at Berklee College of Music and was there for many years and then came back. And so some people might not be familiar with him, but the shows that he's been putting on through his music promotion company, Live! Exclamation point, are really great. He brings in really high-profile musicians like The Bad Plus from New York City. He's also brought in the ukulele virtuoso Jake Shimabukuro, Khaki King, just a lot of what I like to call the sort of the nonsuch records crowd, which is sort of like just shorthand for saying like, you know, a musician's musician kind of artist, but very listenable, really enjoyable, and spans a lot of different genres. Without saying any more, I guess.
I think we have Tony on the line with us.
I am. Thank you for having me.
Hello. Nice to have you.
Thanks.
So you have something actually coming up this week, and I want you to talk about that. But first, tell us a little bit about how you got into the music scene here. I mean, you went away to school. You decided to come back.
Well, I went away to school in my 30s. So I had my 20s were spent in Rochester in bands playing around Rochester. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there were Milestones and a couple other places that we played a lot. And I went back to school because I was working a 4-to-midnight job. And I figured if I went back to school at a music school, maybe I could spend that 8 hours, 10 hours a day doing something that I loved, a little bit closer to the music. And so I went to Berklee College of Music. I graduated there then I worked there. I worked there for about 12 years. And during the pandemic, that job was defunded. And so I ended up coming back to Rochester and thinking of what I could do in Rochester. And then during the time, during the pandemic, when nobody was really leaving their home, I came up with this idea of starting a venue, actually. And I haven't reached that goal yet, but I'm at the music promotion part of it, where I can use some of the connections I made at Berklee and create some new ones to get some really amazing artists to come to downtown Rochester. And that's what I'm doing now.
Great. And you're primarily working with two venues right now, right?
Yeah. I work with the Little Theater on East Avenue, which is an amazing 270-person venue that many of you have gone to see movies there. They also have a great sound system and the ability to put on some really intimate shows. So I get to use that. And then recently, I've gotten to work with the people at the Hochstein School. They have a beautiful acoustic performance hall there. And I've gotten to have some really amazing jazz, and Joan Osborne played there. And I have Ron Carter, who is a graduate of the Eastman School of Music and the most recorded bass player in the history of jazz. The guy has played with Stan Getz and Miles Davis and Wes Montgomery and Wayne Shorter.
Wow.
And I mean, it's just endless what he's done, what he has achieved over his lifetime. He's now 87 years old. He's still playing amazingly, and he's going to be here in Rochester at the Hochstein School this Friday night at 8 p.m.
That's great. And you have something coming up at the Little, right? Later this month?
Yeah, I do. There's a couple shows, actually. There's a guitarist, another legendary guitarist named Mark Rebo. And Mark is primarily known for his work with Tom Waits, as Tom Waits' guitar player. But Mark has also played with Wilson Pickett and McCoy Tyner and a bunch of other people. Well, Mark does a live score. So he plays a live score to a silent movie. And so Mark will be playing a live score to Charlie Chaplin's classic silent film, The Kid. And that's going to be on August 22nd. In Little Theater One. The doors open at 6:30 and the show starts at 7:30. So if you love classic films, if you love silent films, you get to watch this great film and eat delicious popcorn or whatever you like, and listen to this master guitar player score the film while you're watching it. And I thought that would be a really, I called to connect with Mark's people to see if I could bring one of his bands in, and that wasn't possible, but they told me that he also does this, and I thought it's a perfect match with the Little Theater to bring him in to do that.
Yeah, that's so fun. I mean, what a unique way to combine the two mediums too. I've seen a couple shows like that, and they're always just, you're like, what? This is just the neatest thing.
Right.
So,
and that's how people used to do it back in the day.
Yeah. Well, right. Of course. I love that, you know, the Little also has that past history as a silent film house. So to do it there feels even more special.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything else you want to tell us about? What future plans for live venue hunt? What's going on in your world?
Well, yeah. I mean, eventually I'd like to have a place, to call home, where I can have weekly shows but right now I'm just concentrating on getting people to the shows I have and to get more shows. There is actually a third venue that we're going to be using for this, what I'm calling the summer concert series. And so on August 16th at 8 p.m. At the Rochester Academy of Medicine, we have four amazing local singer-songwriters are going to be playing in an East Avenue mansion.
Yeah.
So that should be pretty cool. Elena Alston, Sarah DeValier, Cami Anaharl, and Adriana Noon are going to be playing there. And I think the unique thing about this show, besides the room is really gorgeous and the building is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Is that they're hopefully going to be playing on each other's songs and singing with each other and doing some things that they don't get to do normally because they're all playing gigs at different places around town. So that's going to be a really cool show coming up too. And then at the in September, two great shows in September, Christian McBride and Edgar Meyer are two amazing double bass players. They are playing at Hochstein on September 6th, and they have an album that just came out called "But Who's Gonna Play the Melody?" And so you get to sit in this really intimate space and look up and see these two master bass players going back and forth with bow and playing. You know, one's going to be playing with, you know, his fingers. One's going to be using a bow, and I think there'll be the piano will be introduced into some of the songs as well. So just amazing talent coming up, and I want to keep doing it. And so that's what we're going to keep doing it.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing this with us and for being part of our August issue. We look forward to seeing what you do next.
Yeah, well, I'll be letting you know.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, in our last few minutes, what I would love to do is ask the three of you, because we get this question a lot, is what do you think makes someone a good fit for Rock 10? And I know that we're all going to have different answers for this. And I sort of give my answer when I write the intro, but Pat, it looks like you have something to say.
Yeah, I just think like a big part of it for me is someone doing something that represents what, like, it doesn't have to represent the totality of Rochester, right? Like what even is that? But it's just someone whose contributions are palpable in the sense of you can look at them and what they're doing or who they are, and it's like this is a sort of an ambassador, and it's just it sort of represents one of the many things that can be viewed as like a something that represents whatever Rochester is and who we are.
Yeah,
which is totally like, I don't know, it's elusive,
a little nebulous. Yeah.
but it has to represent some part of that, I think.
Yeah, and I don't think that means they have to be like a Rochester native either.
Totally.
Right? They could be a transplant or a boomerang. Yeah. Gino, what do you think?
I think there's like an element of earnesty to it that, I've been doing these for quite a while now, and it's this thing where I think we kind of live in this era where a lot of people do things for the sake of getting attention to the things that they're doing.
Mm.
That people very, very often just will go out into the world and try to do something not for the sake of the passion they have towards whatever they're doing or the betterment of their community, but rather for, look, I can post this on Instagram and get 50 likes, that kind of thing. And I think really that's what makes like the quality of, you know, picking people for Rock 10 right now really kind of important is we had to find people that they're doing something for the reason that they want to do it and it betters the community for them doing it.
Yeah.
And I think previously when we have been doing these for as long as I've been here, there's always been like political figures and that have been involved in this. And we've kind of deviated away from that to more arts and culture focused people. Yeah. And I think when you find people that are doing something different or doing something unique and it makes Rochester a better place as a result of whatever they're doing, and it's not self-serving in any way, shape, or form. I think we all do things, you know, to get paid or whatever that are self-serving, but not for the, you know, growing of your own profile, but rather for I'm doing this because I want to do it. And the ancillary result is that Rochester is a better place for it. I think that's what really encapsulates what this should be doing and the kind of people we want to capture in it.
Yeah, I agree. Dan, what do you think?
I think if I could put it in one sense, it would be someone who has carved out their own niche mm-hmm. in the community and done so in a way that contributes to the overall vibe and vitality of Rochester and mm-hmm. its area, but also brings something different to the table and provides new opportunities for people.
Yeah, love that. Great. Well, this has been this conversation has had a range. Really, we started with Jake and Raph's creative journeys to get to where they are now. Anything else any of you want to add from the issue? Anything you worked on or Pat?
I told Roth this off mic, but I just want to shout him out again for the great work he did and in the work that Jake did too. Of just like for us as the writers, like to have our words kind of paired with this really dynamic visual presence is really cool. So the novelty of that will probably never be lost on me. Just being able to open up a magazine and see that is cool.
It is pretty cool. Yeah, I think sometimes we're like so in it, we're like, oh, the magazine's here, but like the magazine's here. That's pretty cool.
It's a rarer and rarer things these days. And I think people in Rochester should be grateful that we still have this because most cities don't. Like the alternative magazines have plummeted and we still have ours.
So we're going to keep going. Yeah, but thanks to everyone who does pick it up and read it. My thanks to all of our guests today. Thank you to the crew in the booth who has kept me on track. I'm getting a thumbs up. I hope I did okay. Thanks to Evan Dawson and Megan Mack for letting me host a show about the magazine that we create every month. I'm Leah Stacey. Thank you for listening to Member Supported Public Radio.